If this is your first time here at Shift, we're glad that you're here. We like to say that Shift is a worship service seeking authenticity, which just means we want to be ourselves with each other. Church is not really always the easiest place to do that. Sometimes we put on our best foot forward as we come to church. It's good in one sense that we want to offer up to God the best that we possibly have. But in another sense, God isn't interested in something that is not you, okay? He doesn't want a fakeness or a facade. We have a God of truth. And He wants to know who truly you are, because that's the place where God meets us and begins to change us to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And the fact that any of us could become like Jesus is a good news for you or for me. We've been starting on this series of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is perhaps the most compact, important sermon that we find from Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5 through 7. It really has, it seems like, as I've studied it, everything there. Everything that we need to know about what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, about who God is, about who we are, and how we are supposed to be and find fulfillment in this world. Last week we began with the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, and we talked about how when it says blessed, that oftentimes some people can say that it just kind of means happy, like a joy that is depending upon our circumstances, but really what the word means is a joy that cannot be taken away from us. A completeness, a fulfillment. This is what blessed means. And we started with the first four blesseds. Blessed, in general, are those people who are in need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And last week what we said was all those people know that they need God. And because they know they need God, they are blessed. They will have a joy that cannot be taken away from them because God is going to fill that need. Now the reason that's so important for me to say back to you today is because the next beatitude, the next blessed, really flows from that idea. Flows from the idea that God is going to fill the needs of those who need Him. If you have your scriptures, you're more than welcome to open up to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. If you don't have a Bible, you can always get one online. The Bible app is a great little tool that you can use and have the Bible with you wherever. If you need a physical Bible, we can also get you a physical Bible, but we want to be reading the scriptures together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, just one line of scripture. Jesus said this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you continue to teach us. We thank you that we are a new generation, and yet your words still have such power and effect in our lives. We thank you that you will have mercy on us and have. And so we ask this morning that you would teach us what you say here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So blessed are the merciful. Those people who are full of mercy, because they will be shown mercy. What is mercy? What does mercy look like? Well, the Greek word here has this meaning of a sympathy that rises up inside of us and then is acted upon for those who are in great need. A sympathy that rises up inside of us and then is acted upon to fulfill the need of others. That's what it means to have mercy. To see someone who's in dire straits and to help them because you feel merciful towards them so you act on it. I think probably the best place we can see what mercy looks like within the Scriptures is when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. So there's this teacher of the law who comes along and he's trying to test Jesus. And so he gets up and he says to Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the law. How do you read it?" Turns it back on the teacher. And the teacher of the law says to him, he says, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, your heart, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "Well, you got it right. Go do it, and you'll live. Easy as that. You don't take anything from today. Know that if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself, you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself because maybe he hadn't been loving his neighbors as much as he should have been. And so he wants to ask this question. He says to Jesus, "Who are my neighbors? Because I've been loving maybe these people right, but maybe not so much these people, but I don't think these people are my neighbors, you know?" So Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Parable of the Good Samaritan is a man, doesn't tell us, but we assume he's a Jewish man, set upon by robbers. Everything's taken away from him. He's naked. He's on the side of the road. He's left for dead. He's a person in great need, would you say? This priest comes along, sees him, and walks past him. This Levite comes along, sees him, and walks past him. This Samaritan comes along, and he sees him. And it tells us this in the Scripture. It says, when he saw him, he took pity on him. Sympathy, pity, welled up inside of him for this person in the straits and the needs that he had. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds. He acted upon that sympathy, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii. He gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Then Jesus asked the lawyer this question. Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? What's the lawyer's response? Expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." It's the same word in the Greek. Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus says, how do we express our love for our neighbors? We show them mercy. If we see somebody who is in great need, then we help them. We feel for them here, but it doesn't end there. It goes into action. And we bandage up the wounds of the broken. We care about our neighbors and we act like that. And Jesus in this scripture today says that you or I have a joy that cannot be taken away from us. You or I have a fulfillment when we are full of this mercy for each other. Why? Because we will be shown this mercy. In the Scripture today, it makes sense that it appears where it appears. It's not the first beatitude. Because what has Jesus just taught us with the first four? Blessed are those who need, because God is going to answer that great need, right? That's what he's going to do. What does that mean? Well, that means that God is going to be merciful to those first four blessed. These are what the blesseds were. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And how is this all going to come about? Through God. That God is a merciful God. And when somebody is poor in spirit, and remember the word poor is not just a little bit poor, it is impoverished, it is a beggar in spirit. That God is going in His mercy to give them the kingdom of heaven. That those who mourn, and not just any type of mourning, the worst type of mourning possible, mourning as though mourning for the dead, God is going to be merciful to those people, and they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the people who have seen that evil has its way on this earth, but they have waited on God. And what is God going to do? God is going to answer them, and in His mercy, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And remember, it's not just like I got a little gurgle in my stomach type of hunger. They knew what hunger was in that day and age. They knew what thirst was. Someone who's desperate for righteousness. Why? Because God is going to fill them in His mercy. Because God is merciful. Because God fills the needs of those who are desperate. So doesn't it make sense that the very next line says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will find mercy." In other words, Jesus says, look, we all need God, and God is merciful and is going to fill that need. And then He tells us, you also must be like God, full of mercy. What are you full of? This is a good question, huh? Are you full of mercy or something else? There's this reasonable expectation in the Scripture today that Jesus is teaching us that if we find mercy at work in us, that we have a sympathy, a love for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters who are in need, not just physically on the side of the road, but also spiritually, also dealing with forgiveness, relieving of debts, that type of mercy. If we have that mercy filling us, then we have a reasonable expectation that God is going to be merciful also to us. But there's something very important that Jesus does not say here that is implied. If we are not full of mercy, there is a reasonable expectation that God is not going to be merciful to us. I want you to hear that. If we are not full of mercy, there is a reasonable expectation that God is not going to be merciful to us. James says in chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Here, dealing with forgiveness, also merciful, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in the same Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, if you're merciful towards them, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, what happens? Your Father will not forgive your sins. We say it a lot in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, don't we? But maybe we just kind of pass over it. Forgive me my sins. That's usually where in my prayer, you know, I'm forgive me my sins, Lord. And I always forget to say that extra part. As I forgive those who have sinned against me, who's trespassed against me. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Does this have to do with mercy too? Absolutely. It's made most clear in a story that Jesus tells about the merciful servant, the unmerciful servant, or also called the wicked servant. Jesus says that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like this. It's like a king who came to settle accounts. I do this because it's for all of us. It's like a king who came to settle accounts. And he had this servant who owed the king 10,000 bags of gold. That is what we call a debt, right? That cannot be repaid. 10,000 bags of gold. The king calls this servant to him because he's calling to account. And he says he's going to sell the servant and he's going to sell his family in order to pay back the debt. But the servant begs him. This is what he says. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him. Sounds the same as that good Samaritan when he saw the man on the side of the road. And he canceled the debt, 10,000 bags of gold, and he let him go. So the servant goes out, and he sees another servant. This servant owes him 100 pieces of silver. Now, that's not a small amount of money, right? That's a serious amount of money. But is it in comparison to the 10,000 bags of gold? No. How does he treat this servant who owes him? Well, he begins to choke him, and he says, "Pay me back what you owe." And the man who owes him says, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." He says exactly the same thing that he had said to the king. But this man doesn't show him any mercy. Instead, he throws him into jail until he pays it all back. Now, when the king hears about this, he calls that servant to himself. And this is what he says. He says, "You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. How much did he owe? 10,000 bags of gold. "This is how my heavenly Father," Jesus Christ says this, "will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Unless you have mercy for your brothers and your sisters. You see, brothers and sisters, if we see mercy at work in our life, forgiveness, relieving needs and debts, and there is a reasonable expectation that God is going to be merciful to us. We'll get to why in just a second. But if we don't have mercy for our brothers and our sisters, God will not have mercy on us. What are you full of? Mercy? Judgment, holding people to account, maybe your enemies. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, I don't know if you thought about your life lately, but that's a very scary text. How I judge others may be the judgment that God uses for me. So maybe you see in your life that you don't have mercy for your brothers and your sisters. Maybe you could be like the Good Samaritan in your life, where you might help the stranger on the side of the road. But maybe there's somebody who's closer to you who has a debt against you, and you are unwilling for that debt to be let go of until they pay back every single penny. You don't have any mercy for that person in your life. And maybe this raises the question inside of you, says, Josh, okay, this person has wronged me, and I don't know how I'll forgive them, how I'll have mercy on them. I don't know how to be full of mercy. Well, here's what I want you to see. That the mercy we have and express to others is not of our own doing. It is of God's doing in our life. If you are seeking mercy, there is a truth that will fill you so full to the brim with mercy, you can forgive even the person who has a great debt to you. And it's this: how much mercy has God shown you? Why isn't it the first beatitude? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord Jesus knew that if it was blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, we probably soon enough would have been saying, well, I'm going to be so merciful, I'm going to earn God's mercy this way. That's how it's going to happen. I'm going to do it through my own work, my own power. I'm going to be such a merciful person. What I want you to be clear of this morning, that is not what Jesus Christ is teaching here. In fact, what he's showing us is there is this progression. The first four are about what we owe, what we need from God. We don't have spirit. We're mourning. We need something else. We need God to move when we're meek. We're hungering and we're thirsting for righteousness. And God in his mercy fills us. And from there, we become merciful. Full of mercy. This is why the story Jesus tells doesn't go like this. There was this servant who another servant owed, and then he went out and he was merciful to him, or he was unmerciful to him, and then the king called him and said, hey, you weren't merciful to him, so I'm not going to show you mercy. Or you were merciful to him, so I'm going to show you mercy. That's not what he says. How does this story start? God calls this man to account for 10,000 bags of gold, what he owes God. And God forgives the debt. And then what is he supposed to do? Why are we so awestruck by the way this man acts? Because he has just been forgiven 10,000 bags of gold. How can he go out and act like somebody else owes him? Have you asked that question in your own life? Have you asked the question how much God has forgiven you? That you might go to someone else and say, you owe me. I don't need to show you mercy. The way we become merciful is to come to an understanding of what God has forgiven us, what God has done in our lives, what God has bandaged up. There was a man this week who gave me this example. I was meeting with him, and he had a person who stole from him a great deal of money, large amount of money, connived. It was a whole family. And the people around him were pushing him to be very, very angry, upset, want to get back at him. In fact, they were kind of saying, you know, you need to crush this person. And the man said, Josh, you know, the truth is I don't feel like that towards these people. The best way I can describe what he described to me was he had pity for them. He had a welling of sympathy for them. He said, because I know what they did was wrong. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I know that they're lost. I know that they can't see that they're going after something that's going to give them no value in this life. He said, I really don't even understand it. I'm supposed to be angry at these people, but I have a love. I said, I'm not so confused. I said, I know exactly why you're merciful to these people. And it's because you understand what God has done in your life. what God has forgiven you for. So how can you go to these other people who have wronged you and think to your heart of hearts, man, I could never forgive these people when God has forgiven you so much? And me. And all of us. Brothers and sisters, if you're ever finding difficulty to show mercy, here's what I want you to think about. What have you been forgiven for? What mercy has God showed to you in your life? If you don't know the answer to that question, I'm not condemning you. But I'm telling you, you're not going to be a person full of mercy. You're not going to be a person full of love, because you have no idea what you owe, that you owe 10,000 bags of gold to God. And he wiped it clean. This is why Jesus came. He came to teach us mercy. He came to show us mercy. In Hebrews it says this about Jesus: for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. What's atonement? It is paying back what is owed. Because Jesus Christ is the reason in that story that the king is able to wipe clean 10,000 bags of gold, because Jesus paid the 10,000 bags of gold for each and every single one of us. You see, brothers and sisters, when he came here, he surrounded himself with sinners and tax collectors. Why? Because those were people who needed mercy. Not the religious leaders and the religious people who thought they were the ones who dole out mercy, but they don't need any mercy from God themselves. He came for people who need him. So much so that when the religious leaders saw, man, I don't know if this guy knows who he surrounded himself with these sinners and these tax collectors. This is what he says. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Brothers and sisters, this is why it is such good news. Because when we needed God, he answered us with his own life. Jesus Christ came down to this earth to take on flesh, to come for the sick. And who are the sick? It's all of us. The other people just live in self-denial. It's all of us. Our owing is so large with the sins that we have in our hearts, and we can't pay it back no matter what we do. So we needed Jesus Christ to come. And he broke his body upon the cross, and he shed his blood upon the cross for the list of sins I have a mile long in my life, that I might be forgiven. He came for sinners like me. And he broke his body, and he shed his blood, and by his stripes, the scriptures tell us, we are healed, we are shown mercy. Do you know what you've been forgiven for? Do you know what mercy has been shown to you? If you don't, brother and sister, you will not be able to be full of mercy towards other people. But if you know that God has forgiven you, the darkness, brothers and sisters, you have no clue what God has forgiven me of. You have no clue what he's taken away from me. You have no clue what Jesus died upon the cross. Maybe you do. "10,000 bags of gold I owed the Lord, and he paid it with his blood." Can I go to a brother or sister and say, "You owe me"? Anything you owe me doesn't compare to what I owe him. What are you full of? Mercy? Condemnation? What did God show you? Mercy or condemnation? He showed you mercy. And He said, "Blessed are the merciful, who are full of the mercy of God, for they will show mercy." They'll be shown mercy. There was a woman named Corrie Ten Boom who was a Christian. She was brought into a Nazi concentration camp, and she suffered greatly. She became a speaker. She survived. Not all of her family did. She became a speaker, and one day she got done with speaking. She came down and she saw this man. This man came up to her and said, "Ah, Miss Ten Boom." Said, "I'm glad to see you." Corrie Ten Boom looked at him, finally recognized him. One of the worst people at the concentration camp, one of the worst guards who her family suffered under mightily. And this guard looks at her and says, "I'm now a Christian. I found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible, and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done, but I then have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims for forgiveness. And Fraulein Ten Boom, once and you're forgiven, will you forgive me?" And she says in her heart of hearts, "I just couldn't. I couldn't." She said, "My sister Betsy," or Betty, "suffered under the hands of this man and died. But then she thought to herself, if I don't have forgiveness for him, will then I not have forgiveness for Christ, from Christ?" Matthew 6:15 came to her, "When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. When you do not show mercy to those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not show you mercy for your sins." She said, "But I couldn't. I hated this man. It wasn't possible." But then she remembered this scripture from Romans 5:5. "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us." You see, she knew it wasn't possible through her own work. She knew only the love of Jesus, the love of God itself, could come in her to show mercy to this person who was seeking her forgiveness. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought it into my heart. God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness." And she looks at this man and she says, "Brother, give me your hand." And she shook hands with him. And it said at that very moment she felt God's love stream through her arms. She said, "You never touch so the ocean of God's love as when you forgive your enemies." She says, "Can you forgive?" She says, "No, you can't. Neither can I." She says, "But he can." Brothers and sisters, if you are feeling a lack of mercy in your heart, and you need to be full of mercy, I am telling you the only way it comes is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ died in order to give us. The mercy of a man who was willing to give his life for his murderers. And when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And he says the same to you and I every time we sin against him. And when that mercy comes to reside in your heart, it will overflow that you would be a merciful person, so you will be shown mercy. Do you know your need for mercy? Do you know your need for forgiveness from Jesus? If you know your need for mercy, I want you to stand up. Hear the good news. God Almighty has died to show you mercy, brothers and sisters. And the mercy you receive will overflow in your heart to show mercy to others. And you will be blessed. You will have a joy that cannot be taken away from you, because blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have acknowledged our need before you for mercy. We've acknowledged our debt to you, and you have paid the cost for us. Lord, make your mercy real in our lives, that we might go from this place and be merciful to others. God Almighty, we pray for the joy of being full of mercy. We pray for your forgiveness for all the sins we have done wrong in our lives. And we pray that we might forgive others their sins, knowing you will be merciful to us. We ask this and we pray this in Jesus Christ's most blessed name. Amen. Let's worship our merciful Lord.